prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Suderstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, December 9th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
Hey, we got some good news and...
And some good news.
Yeah. I'm a little cranky, though.
When a cat...
earns its owners $99 million. It's like, how does that work?
I'll tell you what. Barack Obama and Michelle are saying, you know, we ought to get rid of this damn dog. Yeah, I know. I'm going to get ourselves a cat. Make some money.
Yeah. Got to have a grumpy face.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm grumpy. I have a grumpy face here. So you folks out there, for all your gold and silver needs, call Grumpy Gold here at 1-800-375-4188. But there's nothing to be grumpy about. Gold today up currently at the New York spot price in the aftermarket, up $26 at $1,231.60. We had a high of $1,240, so $9 more. Nice day for gold today. Silver was up 68, blue over that $17 level, 1716. Yeah, platinum up $16 at 1249 platinum. And palladium was up 10 at $813. And yeah, I saw a lot of talk about palladium. But all the new car buying and everything, that palladium is going to do well and so forth. And I still question how well is the auto sector going to do here in the near future. So, you know, it's just for those of you who call and want to know about palladium is not a monetary metal. So if you're looking to preserve your wealth, you're purchasing power through a monetary metal, you want to stay with gold and silver. You want to speculate, you could go into platinum and palladium. The USDX today is coming off its low of the day, down 0.40 at 88.74. Crude oil today was up 69 at 63.74. Paper markets today all came back from their lows. And we have the Dow down 51 points, but it did hit a low. It was actually down 222 points. And it came back to close down 51 points at 17,801. Thank you, Plunge Protection Team.
It wasn't a miracle?
No.
I thought it's a miracle.
Now, can you imagine, and we're going to go over some of these numbers after I do the NASDAQ. Well, let's just do the NASDAQ was up 25, 47.66. The NASDAQ basically unchanged at 2,059, 10-year yield, 0.04 at 2.22%. Now, if I can pull up these numbers here real quick, you wonder what the rest of the world thinks when all their markets just get hammered overnight.
At you the had same time. That's the remarkable part of this.
Well, and ours really don't follow through.
Pardon me?
Ours don't follow through. You had the Shanghai that was down at one point, I read, 8% to close at almost 5.5% to the downside. You had the FTSE 100 down 2.14%. Germany's markets were down 2.21%. France, 2.55%. Hang Seng, which is Hong Kong, 2.34%. So even Nikkei didn't get hit as hard as the other ones. But so it's interesting to see how all these markets, you had Mexico, Greece got hammered. It had they had the biggest fall since the 80s. They suffered their worst hammering in three decades. As the country is heading for another political crisis that would put its bailout program in jeopardy. And it fell, the Athens benchmark index fell almost 13%, the biggest one-day drop since 1987. So you tell me how well these markets are doing around the world and how ours were able to come back from 222 points down to up 51. A little in their intervention there, I believe. But Greece.
Up 51 or down 51?
Down 51. But yeah. It came back to down 51.
Came up from 250 down to 250 to 50 down.
That is correct.
So it made a 200-point recovery. But there is an interesting point. When we're comparing the markets, we did suffer a similar kind of decline here as compared to the European markets and the Asian markets. We got in on the same phenomena, except we have a plunge protection team, and I'll bet those other countries don't. If it weren't for the plunge protection team, we would have probably seen a drop more than 250 points down today. It would have probably continued to go, and we would have probably seen, I don't know, 2% drop, whatever that translates into. I'm not sure what. I don't know how many points that would be, but nevertheless, the difference between us and them is the plunge protection team. Now, is that cause for celebration? Yay! We have the plunge protection team, so our markets didn't crash. Or is that cause for concern? Because once again, the government has found a way to manipulate reality. How long can they continue to do that?
Are you asking me?
No, I was asking Frank. Frank, how much longer can they?
Well, you answer your own question, Al. I mean, certainly, you know, they've been doing it for, you know, a long time. So,
yeah, I understand that, but there is a point.
Reality forces will overtake.
The world itself took a nice little hit. Not a big hit, not a catastrophic hit exactly, but it is surprising to see all of the markets in the world, virtually all of them, those significant markets, suffer a measurable decline, 2%, 4%, 5%, something that's measurable, not necessarily catastrophic, but it does say something about the global economy.
Well, which really was a little expected because you had China come out with a report yesterday where their GDP had dropped so drastically from what was the expectations. You have Japan going into a recession. You have the reports coming out of Europe, not so good. You have the political problem with Greece. They're looking like they're going to be heading into possible general elections. And, you know, it's funny, the left-wing opposition party, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it properly, Syriza, said that if they win the general election, they said they're going to demand a substantial cut to what Greece owes in bailout loans if it was elected. And economist Megan Green said that the country's bailout creditors, of course, the European Union, the IMF, you know, wouldn't stand for that. And, you know, they'll, and yeah, just like any politician, but just like any politician, they'll end up falling in line with them because, you know, to see the opposite side without those bail.
But if they can't pay the bill, it isn't going to get paid. I mean, the truth of the matter is Greece is insolvent.
Absolutely.
Or at least.
Should have fallen a long time ago.
I understand that. And the rest of these the countries that have been pumping money into it, you know, at some point in time, you have to realize that you are an enabler. You are pumping good money after bad. And you have to wake up to that if you want to preserve whatever money you might have. And if you don't want to preserve what money you have and you want to keep, and you want to keep pushing it down a rat hole and expecting something positive is going to come out of the rat hole, well, you know, it's just irrational. Somewhere along the line, the nations are going to have to admit, you know, we're not going to be able to pull this off. Or maybe they won't. Maybe they can. Maybe they can just keep on punching more money and more money and more money into Greece, and Greece will recover. Maybe it'll happen. I don't think so, though.
No.
All right? And sooner or later, we're going to have to face that reality. Somebody's going to have to admit, you know, we can't, no point to get putting any more money into this stuff, even worthless fiat dollars or fiat euros or whatever. It's not going to work.
Well, talking about fiat dollars, I mean, it was, what, a week ago, 2 weeks ago? I said if I was a betting person and I played in the paper markets, I'd be shorting the dollar. And the Bank of International Settlements, they came out with their quarterly review yesterday, or Sunday, I believe, that a prolonged rally in the dollar would expose financial vulnerabilities in these
Absolutely.
Emerging markets. The Basel-based organization added that there were increasing signs of fragility in financial markets, and even though there were renewed hopes for growth, but with the dollar index closing at an eight-year high on Friday, it presents a big problem for them.
It presents a big problem for us.
And other
everyone can celebrate that the price of gasoline is down. That's in part due to the rising value of the dollar. But the rising value of the dollar is contrary to government programs and policies for probably 70 or 80 years. They've had inflation, 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 inflation. They want inflation. They hate deflation. At least that's been the argument for 70 or 80 years in this country. Get away from deflation. And now we have essentially embraced deflation, at least it's been tolerated for the past 18, 24 months. It either has to go back to inflation or we are going into another depression. Deflation is virtually always a hallmark of an economic depression. If it persists, you can deal with it for a while, but if it persists, you're going into a depression. And right now, if we had a plunge protection team that cared about trying to maintain our economy, they would be out there trying, working diligently to inflate the dollar. And they're not. And I don't understand why. Because it's dangerous to the economy. It inflates the size of the national debt. It increases the size of the national debt by making the dollars more valuable. It pushes government toward bankruptcy. It pushes the economy toward a depression. I don't get it.
Well, you know, the Bank of International Settlements, their alarm was for mainly the emerging markets because there's a strong dollar historically created turmoil for the developing world. Latin America in the 80s, Asia in the 90s, and governments, this article says that governments has, as a result, largely severed their currency pegs to the dollar, weaning themselves off foreign borrowing and bolstered central reserves. So, you know, the drop that we've seen in these markets, and, you know, we've seen these drops before and they've rallied back and so forth. So we'll have to see if this is something that's, you know, a one-day wonder, or, you know, if this is the beginning of a, you know, a trend. But certainly, I think everyone realizes and should understand that these markets, I mean, when you look at the economies around the world and how they're infected by the currencies and their ability to trade and how everything is all based on debt, there's only one direction these markets are going to go. Whether it starts today, tomorrow, next week, or next month, it will happen. People will lose their money. People who have their money in paper will lose, period. It's that simple. And people don't seem to grasp. They'd rather hold on to something that's at, you know, record highs, thinking it's going to go higher, thinking out, you know, and it's like, well, what else are you going to do? At least pull some of those funds out and preserve it and get it into gold and silver that will help protect you. I you know, it's just...
Well, it's one of those things, you know, we talk about it on a pretty regular basis. You want to get rich, you buy low and you sell high. Fundamental formula for investing, right? Buy low, that's when not only is the price low, but the particular investment class is disparaged as worthless. It can't possibly go anywhere. All right, that's going to happen down at the low end. Everybody goes, oh, that's silly, you don't want to invest in that. That's low. That's time to get in. Time to get out when it goes high. When everybody says, yes, yes, you can't miss. Get into this particular investment. You're going to get rich. That's time to bail. All right? Sell out and look for something else. But you buy low and you sell high. You have to expect that people are going to have exactly the time when they should be buying. People have tend to be most contemptuous of whatever the investment class is. All right? And it's a kind of human foolishness. We want to follow the leader rather than do our own thinking and rely on our own eyes, our own ears, to make up our minds what we should invest in. We don't want to look at the fundamentals. There is no fundamental that is more important to most of us than what's the guy across the street doing? How about our neighbors in the north and the south? What are they doing? I want to do what they're doing. I want to be a conformist. You're going to be a conformist if you want to do what everybody's doing. You are going to get what everybody gets. And if you stop to think about it, you understand that what everybody is going to get, or at least the majority, is something akin to a low income and maybe even poverty before this is all over. If you want to follow that herd, enjoy yourself. You know, it'll be fun running over the cliff, but...
Absolutely. I just wanted to bring this up before we go into break. I saw where Citibank, they won't be... I'm not sure if it was the last quarter for the year. Their profits are going to be slim because of all the fines and fees they had to pay. But, of course, they were never admitted that they were guilty of anything. Bernie Madoff's secretary gets 6 years in prison. The computer programmer is going to be next. She apologized to victims. But the key thing of this whole article that I read is, you know, she was a pampered, a grossly overcompensated clerical worker who supervised other clerical workers with a ferocious enthusiasm. Now, the judge said she could and should have recognized that Mr. Madoff's success seemed impossible because it was impossible. She's getting 6 years in prison because she did fail to recognize that Madoff was running a Ponzi scheme because she was in control of the clerical workers and she should have noticed. And I'm thinking to myself, well, shouldn't these heads of banks, shouldn't they have recognized that something was going off, they were at the helm, that they should have recognized that something was going on? Shouldn't they get jail time too? Because they failed to recognize, so they just, well, she probably doesn't have the money to pay a fine.
Yeah, well, maybe not anymore. But she probably, maybe she does, maybe she doesn't, I don't
know.
She's
66 years old.
Oh, spring chicken. Where was I going with this? The only thing I wanted to say, but we also, like this lady clerk, we also have an obligation to recognize, to look around, use our eyes, use our ears, see what's really going on, and not just follow the herd. She followed the little herd, Madoff's herd. Now she's going to follow him into the slammer. Right? You've got to be careful about who you're following. You must think. I'm Alfred Addis. We're here in Financial Survival. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, we're running a special today on 90% silver quarters. It includes free shipping, $25 face value, and the total cost is $350 for $25 face value, 90% silver. We got a lot of silver that came in. One of my buyers purchased it, and we told him we'd take it off their hands. And so it's a great little value at $350, 90% quarters, $25 face value. And there's just a couple of things I want to say. You know, yesterday when we were doing, I was doing a comparison with online sellers, and I found that our prices were probably 95% of the time less than those online. Not less in premium, but of the times that I compared the prices, 95% of the time we were lower. Well, I get a call today, and I find this is, it's very common that when people are buying online, they truly fail to compare apples to apples. And over the years, when someone says, well, I can, you know, get it cheaper from this place, I'll go on there and I'll look up the product, and it's something totally different. It's some sort of a lead into the product. And if you look at the fine print and you compare the spot price with the price, they are usually higher online. But they get you sucked in by saying that we have the lowest prices online, and you can buy this coin as low as this. Well, yeah, if you're buying a large volume. But most people don't see or read the fine print. So just make sure you're comparing apples to apples. And if you're shopping online, make sure you give us a call. And I'd be more than happy to do it for you. Because I truly know what to look for. And a lot of folks, you know, buying online, you don't know what to look for. And you think you're getting a deal when you truly are not. So I just wanted to remind that. And also, I had someone call me. And he said, I can't believe they're selling those Graham coins or Graham bars. What would I want with those? He says, it just doesn't sound like a really good deal. And you know what, folks? It isn't a good deal. You know, and if you work hard at a multi-level marketing business, you can probably make a good living.
Some people make a fantastic living.
Yeah, they
but
do.
Most people don't. It's
most
like,
people
you know,
don't.
It's like going to a horse race. Some people come out, hey, I made a lot of money at the horse race. But most people lose money, and if that weren't true, the races would probably not exist.
Yeah, and it's the same way with these MLMs. And you usually are going to have to put in, you know, working, nothing
some
comes.
Some people have the right talent for it, and some people.
But they also sacrifice out, and they put a lot of hours into it.
Well, there's one other thing also.
And most people aren't willing to sacrifice 50, 60, 70 hours a week.
Well, it depends on how much money you make and the rest, that sort of thing. I don't have a problem with that, but here is one problem with multi-level marketing. Typically, it turns out to be a Ponzi scheme. What it's all about, for example, with the carat bars, all right, you can go out and buy a carat of gold. The last time I checked, the price of the cards were about 50% higher than the spot price of gold, all right? You could get, instead of paying $50 for one of these, which might be a fair price in terms of spot price of gold for a carat of gold, I don't know if that's correct. I'm just pulling the number out. You would be paying $75, $80 for that. You're overpaying $50. The express purpose for the carat bars is to make it possible for the little guys, the beloved little guys, to be able to get some gold at low prices. Well, that's an interesting idea, but the truth is, where is the nobility? They make it sound as if they're doing somebody a favor, but they're in fact ripping them off. You would be better off to buy silver dollars. You understand? You have less of a premium, less of a markup. You can buy three silver dollars probably for the price of one carat bar. And it'll be more spendable. It has a higher probability of making a big profit, a significant profit for you. And, you know, what are you going to do with a carat bar? It is a multi-level marketing device. But if you're buying it to get into multi-level marketing, well, okay, go ahead. If you're buying it to invest in gold, you'd be dumb. And the people that are selling, ooh, you make an investment. No, you're not. You're throwing your money away. That's what's really happening. If you think you're investing in gold or you want to invest in precious metals in small increments, fine, get silver dollars. Be smart. Yeah.
And we do have a caller. We have Jim from West Virginia.
Oh, Jim. What you got, Jim?
Well, I guess maybe he is no longer there.
Oh, here there I am.
Is.
Okay. Oh, Frank pushed the right button. All right. Y'all do good, but you're talking about some of the online pricing. Now, this has happened twice to a friend of mine about a year or two ago when he was, you know, and I think it was sort of primarily, but twice it'd be a situation where they say, oh, we just ran out of that, or it takes several weeks to get in. And one other situation, he got a, what's called a confirmation order. What they talked about on the phone was not, in other words, they sent this thing that said this is what he'd sign on to. I mean, it was a document and a half, and ended up in a situation where he didn't have stock. He agreed to buy it at the later price. And folks, you're not going to get scammed with Melody, all right? Because now or another, I've been a magnet for some of the different scams about this, because I've always kind of promoted metals. But that's not really the reason I called. You know, we're talking about the stock market, and American stock market seems to be almost immune to what's going on around the world. Now, I predicted this would happen years ago, is that as different, you know, the currency is worth more now, the dollar is worth more, okay? A lot of money has fled to America for safety. People in China know the Chinese economy is in trouble. People in Europe know the European, the real smart people. So they put their money in the American stock market. Now, if you look at the history of the stock market, 50s and 60s, for us, a lot of people, they worked for Ford, they bought stock, or whomever, they bought their own company stock. There were a lot of individual investors in the stock market, as well as the big hitters. But at that time, you could trust what the Security Exchange Commission would do. For instance, there's certain things that a publicly traded corporation can and cannot do, certain business practices. Okay, SEC was pretty good about that. Then, and the accounting firms were pretty honest. Everybody kept the accounting firms pretty honest. Then there was the Arab oil embargo, 73. And a whole lot of American workers got beat up because industry got beat up because of high oil prices. So a lot of individual investors jumped out. And by the end of the 70s, people were saying, there's something very wrong with the stock market. I can't be a professional manager, so I'm going to get out. Then all these people said, oh, we'll invent mutual funds. Let professionals handle your money for you. The truth of the matter is that mutual funds are just another means by which you can manipulate. You can play all kinds of games, the pricing. And then at the wrong time, I'm afraid, when this whole stock market thing comes apart, you're going to find out that mutual fund is full of junk. Okay? I'm afraid that's the case. Because the last minute, they'll rob the mutual funds. So mutual funds are shaky. You cannot trust accounting firms. Now, my dad picked up on this in the 80s, and then I picked up on it because I'm a little slower on the uptake. I didn't believe it at first. But remember the Enron deal? Oh, we had all these glowing reports of how wonderful Enron was. The accounting firm lied, folks. So finally, of course, now a lot of people didn't realize this, but the accounting firms aren't being held liable anymore. Now, the only reason our stock market is up now is because the institutionals are keeping it propped up. They're buying back their own stock. A lot of times you buy a company, you'll find that a third of its net worth is a loan from the Feds. What happens when the interest rate goes up? I have never seen so many factors, and I'm a veteran in the stock market, okay? I've never seen so many factors set up for crash. And believe me, when the American market starts shaking out, foreign money is going to vaporize, disappear. It's going to crash so hard. I used to think it was going to be a slow grind down. But when this stock market goes, it's going to go crash. And I think there's going to be a bond market shakeout first, like that's already happening in Greece. So, folks, if you're in the stock market, the only reason why the American stock market hasn't gone down is a combination of lying, cheating, stealing. The Dow Jones is a manipulated figure. The plunge protection team has a heck of a lot of foreign money in our stock market. So if there was ever a time to get out now. And that's from somebody who, I don't want to trigger a little heart in the stock market, but I just can't imagine it being any more fragile than it is now. So guys, keep it up. Get out of the stock while you can. If Warren Buffett's sitting on a cash position because he's getting ready for a crash, there's one thing which is in common with every crash. Prior to the crash, the big boys get in a cash position while telling you to buy equities.
Yeah.
So the big boys are in and now also stock markets go up slow, they come down hard and fast. And what these big boys are doing is sitting there saying, I'm going to wait till it crashes, and then I'm going to buy stuff up for a dime on the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So for crying out loud, understand the fundamentals of our stock market. A lot of foreign capital. It'll disappear. Get out of stock, okay? Please, I'm begging you. Bye-bye.
All right, Jim, thank you. And it's not just get out of stock per se, all right? We're also talking about, we've been pushing the same idea on this program for years now, and the idea is it's not just get out of stocks, it's also get out of bonds, and more importantly, get out of paper. All of these paper stocks and paper bonds and paper pension funds and paper bank accounts, they are all based on promises to pay, and most of the promises can't be kept. Sooner or later, that reality is going to intrude on all our happy little dreams, and the paper wealth is going to be substantially wiped out. When people admit they can't pay the paper debt, gee, we don't have the money to do it. That's what Greece is talking about. Right? Melody brought it up earlier in the program. Greece says, "Oh, if one of the political parties is elected, they're going to demand that their creditors reduce how much money they owe." Well, you know, it's like slapping me with a bill for $1 billion. I guess I could go out and say if I get elected, I'm going to demand that they reduce the amount of money that I owe from $1 billion to, who knows, how much, Melody? 100 million?
Mm-hmm.
What difference does it make? You're not going to get 100 million out of me, and you're not going to get $1 billion out of me. I don't have it. Right? I don't know if I even need to make the demand. It's just a device to get somebody elected. But the reality is the debt can't be paid. We're in a similar situation. And if you are holding the correlative paper debt instruments, somebody's got a debt and somebody's got a piece of paper that they think is an asset, like a bond or a stock, when the day comes when people say, oops, we can't pay the debt, it means the paper debt instrument that you are treating as an asset, ladies and gentlemen. You got a piece of paper, it says $100,000 in the corner of it or whatever. You're treating it as an asset. It's nothing but a promise to pay in a world where most of the promises, mathematically, they can't be paid, they won't be paid. And when somebody says, I can't pay that $100,000, your asset turns into a piece of paper. That's all. And there's the danger. So we're telling people, I'm telling people at least, you want to be extraordinarily cautious about investing in any paper debt instrument. It may be that they're going to hold together, who knows for how long, I don't know. But if it weren't for things like the plunge protection team, where would our stock market really be today? They stopped everything at 252 points down and brought it back up to 50 points down. All right, hooray, the plunge protection team. But they have defied reality. What is the true value of the American stock markets if the plunge protection team isn't there to make sure they don't collapse? It's a question of whether you're going to believe the technicals. And technicals, that's just following the graph, say, oh, look, the stock market fell 250 points, but then, miraculously, it came back up. Gee, I knew it would, the good old stock market. What would have happened if the plunge protection team wasn't there? Because whatever would have happened is the truth of the market's value at this moment. The plunge protection team is sustaining a kind of illusion. And those of you who want to bet on that illusion, invest on that illusion, well, go ahead. It's your choice. But if you want to invest in an illusion, you've got to sit back and say, wait a second. How long can this phony baloney story hold together? And we don't know. But it seems certain that it can't hold together forever. And it seems likely that it's going to, that the phony baloney story that is essentially told by the plunge protection team, it's going to be defeated in the near future. Yeah. We are perhaps sitting on the edge of that. Again, we looked at the whole world went down. The stock markets went down 1%, 2%, 3%, 4%. All right, same day. Ours did too, except we have the plunge protection team to stop us from going down. It tells us that the whole world is on the verge of some sort of a correction. Maybe major, maybe minor, I don't know. But it does not bode well for anyone who's invested in paper debt instruments. If we don't keep working, if we don't have full employment, if we don't have adequate access to capital, how are we going to pay off our debts? And the answer is we're not. And that means, you know, if you're holding a piece of paper, you're in trouble. On the other hand, if you're holding a piece of gold, a piece of silver, you don't have a promise to pay. You have an actual payment, a real asset. And that's what you want, in my opinion, to get through the next several years. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Here's an article from Moneybox, and the headline is "The Great Wealth Meltdown. Middle-class families are worth less today than in 1969. How thoroughly the Great Recession savaged how thoroughly did the Great Recession savage middle-class America's finances? Economist Edward Wolf will tell you. The New York University professor has updated his long-running analysis of wealth in America to include data from the Federal Reserve's 2013 survey of consumer finances. The big takeaway? Thanks to the recession, the median U.S. household is now worth less than it was in 1969. All right, and there's a graph here that you can't see, but which I will describe. In fact, median household income in 62 was $55,500. 1969, it was 68,000, went up 78, 83, down to 71, 69, 87, 97, 96. We peaked at $115,100 as the median net worth of U.S. households in 2007. Since 2007, and particularly since 2008, with the onset of the Great Recession, median household income has now declined to $63,800. We've gone from $115,100 to $63,800 in 7 years. Oh, excuse me, 6 years. This is to 2013. Graph only goes to the 2013 numbers. We lost 45% of our net worth on average in 6 years. And that certainly explains. We don't have as much money as we used to. We're not worth as much as we used to be. There's significance to this. For example, your net worth gives your family a financial cushion. If you've got a house, a car, and a garage, and maybe you've invested in some stocks and bonds and whatever, if you come on hard times, you can cash something in and still get by. because you have a net worth, a positive net worth. Our financial cushion is now, however, it's only about 55% of what it was 7 years ago. That means that we are more vulnerable to a financial setback today than we were in 2007. If there was a major financial black swan event that adversely impacted the economy, American people would be less able to deal with that. Not a little bit less, a lot less. 45% less able to deal with that financial problem than they were in 2008. And you look at that and you think, holy cow, you know, that's a significant problem. And you sit back, what happens if another one of these too-big-to-fail banks actually fails? Does the government have the resources to somehow stimulate us to the point where we at least hold our own and don't simply collapse? Does the government have those resources? Because on average, we no longer do. We are less able. We're not completely broke, but we have 45% less than we had just 7 years ago on average. That's not a small thing. You know, what's that do to people's retirement? Their prospects for retirement. Gee, I had the house, I had X number of dollars, I was looking forward to retirement, and all of a sudden I discover, my net worth is 45% lower than I thought it was. How does that impact the average person's retirement? And for a lot of people, it means there isn't going to be a retirement. Right? And if there is one, it's going to be, I hope you enjoy the taste of Mr. Frisky's or whatever, because it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult times. So this, to me, is an illustration. We lost 45% of our wealth on average over the course of the last 6-7 years. It's evidence a lot of that disappeared in the stock markets. Even though they say, we're having a new record, we're having a great time. There are a lot of people who won't invest in the stock markets again just because they suffered such a terrible loss after 2008. That's where many people, between the stock markets and their homes, that's where many people lost, you know, that average net worth. I don't know what the stock market is primarily supported by the government, as near as I'm able to understand. It doesn't really even reflect popular public support. A lot of people have abandoned the market and say, this is just crazy, I'm going to get ripped off here. All of this is a little bit consistent with the idea you have to be extraordinarily careful if you want to invest in any paper debt instruments. Instead, it would be more sensible, in my opinion, don't take a promise to pay. Take a payment. The difference between taking these paper debt instruments, stocks, bonds, pension funds, bank accounts, these are just promises to pay. And you could compare these promises to pay to whether you would rather have an IOU for $1,000. I'm going to sign an IOU. I owe you $1,000. Would you rather have the IOU with my signature on it, or would you rather have 10 $100 bills? And the truth is, you're better off to take the cash than you are to take the IOU. The same thing applies when you are comparing paper debt instruments. They're just promises to pay. They're just IOUs. If it's a piece of paper, it's nothing but a promise to pay. Could have that, or you could have a gold coin. You could have a silver coin. You could have a stack of them. You can have a roll of them. Instead of having the IOU, instead of having the promise to pay, why not take the payment? It's one of the things you have to factor in when you make your investment decisions. It's probably not the only thing you'll want to think about, but it's certainly an important point. What do you think, Melody?
Well, absolutely. And there was another Forbes magazine about a systemic financial crisis, 10 Reasons, which I think is interesting to touch on. And because it is going to happen. I mean, there was a comment, I can't remember from where, but they're talking about with these plummeting oil prices, we talk about the banks that are holding these trillions in, derivatives, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, derivatives, another one.
Yeah, and you have this report where, you know, so far the Bloomberg reported almost $12 billion loss the shale industry. So, I mean, you know, things are happening, folks, and things are happening quick. And again, I think people get confused because they see prices for gold and silver kept low, and they see the prices for the stock markets kept high. And this report with the 10 reasons why there'll be another systemic financial crisis, you know, the fragile system, the financial system is fragile.
Yeah. And it's not just fragile. It's one of the points. The financial system is fragile and complex, fragile and complex network of financial relationships that's built in to a tendency to periodic disturbances that can produce huge unanticipated changes. Well, that's interesting language, a little hard. But Ben Bernanke, former Fed chairman, he says, puts this quandary in a pithy manner. According to Ben Bernanke, he says, assets are observable, he says, but the whole story is not observable. Right? You people, when you invest in some of these alleged assets, these paper assets, you can see what's happening to a particular stock or bond. You can see that to some degree, but it's not giving you the whole story. And there are 10 instances that reasons that they say we're going to see another problem here, and this is going to be a serious problem, but a number of them go back to the same theme. We are flying blind. Nobody really knows what's going on. The system is holding together so far, but no one knows what's really happening. And that almost certainly guarantees that somebody is going to push the red button before this is all over. And they're going to do something stupid. All right? Or just completely ignorant or unfortunate or maybe even malicious. And in part because the system is so complex, we can't know what's going on. This is one of the fundamental reasons, again, this list of 10 from, who put that out? Forbes magazine. This is a credible list. Dangerous bottom line. There is no pragmatic. They're talking about the too big to fail banking system. And they say the dangerous bottom line, there is no pragmatic way that readily comes to mind that involves breaking up the too-big-to-fail banking system while maintaining a market-based financial system. And that's according to former Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner. What are you saying here? He's comparing the too-big-to-fail banking system to the market-based financial system. And he's saying these two systems are to some degree contradictory. They're a little like yin and yang, up and down. All right, two ends of the teeter-totter. If one goes up, the other one's got to go down. If the other one goes up, the first one goes down. They're saying there's no way to get rid of the too big to fail banking system while maintaining a market-based financial system. And he's saying, look, we are caught between a rock and a hard place. Right now, we are there between the rock and the hard place. Admittedly, we are not being pressured so bad that we exactly notice. But if you've got eyes to see and ears to hear, you can sit back and say, holy cow, I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place right now. You've got to overlook the fact that while the whole herd has marched merrily into the space between the rock and the hard place, and you think there's safety in numbers, and when it comes to financial, when it comes to investing, that's a very questionable presumption. Safety in numbers? It's absolutely contrary to the sell buy low and sell high formula. The safety is in being outside. I'm not part of the majority. I'm not, and it doesn't mean that just because you resist the majority that you're right. I mean, you've got to use some brains. You can't just, well, nobody's investing in totem poles, so I'm going to invest in totem poles. No, this is not just being a contrarian for the sake of being contrary, but you got to sit back and say, wait a second, you know, everybody thinks this is dumb. I look at the fundamentals, not the technicals, not the graphs. I look at the fundamentals and I say, you know, I don't think this is dumb. I think this is smart. That's the time to move.
And you know what, with the derivative risks, I mean, we were told there was a quadrillion. Lyndon LaRouche, his research department said 2 quadrillion in derivatives. So there really is, really, no one is truly sure of the amount of these derivative risks. And there's few who truly and so that's something that you can't even measure.
If they knew, I mean, from the terms of this article, point number four deals with derivative risk, and they point out there is presently no way to measure the risks involved. It doesn't matter if we got $800 trillion in derivatives, 1 quadrillion, 2 quadrillion,
3 quadrillion. Who knows
how many. That's not even the point. The point is what happens if they go south, and no one even knows how to measure the potential risk. It's crazy. It's like me inviting all of you people. I got a homemade rocket ship in the backyard, and I'm inviting you to take a trip to the moon. All right? And I assure you a good time will be had by all. We'll wine and dine at the best restaurant on the face of the moon. It'll be great. You'll get a great view of the Earth. Listen, what is the risk? Well, we don't know. What's the risk that my rocket ship is going to blow up in the backyard just as soon as everybody gets on board? Well, we don't know. What happens if we get to the moon and we can't get back? I don't know. Nobody knows. We don't know what the risk is. All anyone understood is that there was a great profit to be made by selling these derivatives. And a bunch of fools said, let's go for it. Let's get the money. And they did. But they left the risk behind, and nobody even knows how big it is. All by itself, this is another one of these things, the mystery, you know. You can't invest in mysteries. You've got to look at fundamentals. You've got to say, look, what is a reality here? And make your judgment on what that reality is and invest accordingly. You can invest in things that you don't even know what the risk is, and yet that's where we are. And allegedly, perhaps a quadrillion or 2 quadrillion dollars invested in something where no one understands what the risk is. It's insane. I'm Alfred Addis. We're out of time. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you. Me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye. Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. Money, money, always funny in a rich